Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome.
This is Backstreet Boys impression. Everybody.
Welcome to the minisode, everybody.
I had a Backstreet Boys stim. I'm so sorry. I've just been hitting it all day.
Oh my god, one mic like that.
Everybody. Like a fucking Chris Kattan character.
LARP Boys.
LARP Street Boys.
That's the word I was looking for.
We're the LARP
everything
Boys.
But the,
LARPing
everything
LARP
but the
Boys.
Talent.
Right now.
And the health and the good looks.
Yeah.
And the money. That's us.
What kind of weird shit happened this week, boys?
First things first. Brazil, Scotland.
No aliens.
No abduction.
So that was going to be my minisode if it happened. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. All right,
So instead I've got you.
I like to imagine that would have been the minisode topic. Would have been.
I think that would have been.
That would have been the main episode. That would have been multiple episode topics.
Yeah. That would have been the news. That would have been the end
Disclosure
of. We wouldn't
day.
Need to show.
It would have happened.
Yeah. There would be no reason to do the show anymore.
If that happened, Disclosure Day would have to unfortunately bomb at the box office, because why would anybody go see that anymore? If
honestly, I bet people would be like, even more. He knew. He was preparing.
Yeah, true.
Us.
True.
The Simpsons writers knew. I have for you my experience with Appalachian Folk Magic by Mobuda 42 on our very own Arch Illuminati Pod subreddit, the place where you go to get read on the show every time without fail. Just kidding. But a lot of the time. Here we go. The Appalachian Mountains are some of the oldest in the world. This in and of itself lends a certain mystique to the entire region. Pair that with the old-time religion the older folks practice, and native folklore that fills the gaps Jesus can't, and you can find yourself where I grew up, about 45 minutes outside of Huntington, West Virginia. Growing up, we always heard classics like "Don't whistle at night," or "If you hear your name in the woods, you respond with, who's asking?" But something I didn't encounter until I was college-age and visiting home was someone taking the... Wait. But something I didn't encounter until I was college-aged and visiting home was somebody talking the fire out of a burn. Let me set the scene. I grew up Methodist and can say with certainty that Methodists love to eat. During autumn every year, the church I grew up in would gather to make apple butter.
Ooh.
The process for making this stuff included filling a copper kettle with ingredients and stirring it over an open fire for the entire day, nonstop. The recipe had been passed down from generation to generation, and the man in charge this particular day was this amazing Korean War vet. We'll call him Tom. I, an able-bodied young man at the time, would go to help with some of the heavy lifting and to hear stories from the old folks. Towards the end of the day, once Tom had deemed the apple butter sufficient, it would be jarred. The younger guys would carry trays of jars to the kettles to be filled.
Apple bottle jars, trays with the jars.
Bottom jars.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Filled with booty juice. The younger guys would carry trays of jars to the kettles to be filled with booty juice and then carry the trays full of full jars back to a nearby table to be lidded. Something happened with one of my jars. Maybe Tom missed the tray. Maybe I moved. Who's to say? A jar of molten apple butter pours over my hand. I'm in shock. My lizard brain is telling me to run. My rational brain is telling me that I can't drop this tray or all of this work goes to waste. I hold on to the tray, hand covered. Tom's instincts kick in. He clears the apple butter from my hand, gets someone to take over for me and for him, and pulls me aside. People are sent for ice and whatnot, but before they can get back, Tom takes my hand in his. He traces his index finger around where the apple butter had been sitting and mutters something inaudible under his breath. He apologizes for dropping the jar and goes back to work. Tom's daughter, a close family friend of mine, comes over to me and I ask what all the mumbling was about. She tells me that he was talking the fire out of the burn. I go, he was what? And she explains that there are some people in the area who possess this ability. They're able to trace their finger around a burn, mutter a specific phrase under their breath, and the fire of the burn leaves. She then proceeds to explain to me that if you possess this ability, you can only teach it one time in your life, and that he taught her. I don't know if she ever taught anyone else, but I know she didn't teach me. Cue to a couple days later when the burn should be in full swing, and it isn't. I've had bad burns before, and this one should have been way, way worse than it was. No blisters, barely even red. To this day, I don't know what they muttered. I've heard other stories of them doing this, but this is my only firsthand experience. It was some real seventh son of a seventh son type stuff. I'd love to know if anyone else has experience with similar stuff. And as always, feel free to share on the pod. Pretty good one.
Yeah.
Pretty good one.
Apple butter.
Talking burn. The fire stuff. Out of the burn. Have you ever heard of that?
Apple fire burn. No, I've never heard of anything like that, but I like that little, it's the, like the little tidbit of, I guess you could call it lore of like, they can only teach it once.
Yeah, that's fun. I love that little stuff. Tidbit. Yeah, yeah, that's nice.
Do you guys have any sort of like family cures or family superstitions
like
that?
Not to that degree.
No, not like that.
Some crazy shit, dude.
That is supremely crazy. I love that. That's actually a very fun story.
Right?
I want to learn how to do it.
But also I like apple butter, so I feel like it clouds my judgment on that
story. Right now, Jesse's struggling to not hear the apple butter song.
I love apple butter. That's my Midwest coming out. I love it.
Apple butter is delicious.
It is exactly what it sounds like it is, and it tastes real good. Yep. It's like it's just like a apple pie without the pie. It's
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's real good. Oh,
making me hungry. Jesse, what do you have for us?
Oh, man. Week? I want to talk about this last week, but we were talking about aliens and whatnot. So this one, I've been holding it, and it's just so weird. I talked about it with Alex for a little bit, but like, if you have been in the world of AI lately, several AI models, including OpenAI, ChatGPT.
This is actually crazy.
Claude, Gemini, all the different things. They looked into, giving these AI different prompts for writing stories, right? And they looked at about 20,000 stories generated by AI models, and they found a shocking repetition of words. And incredibly, a very narrow string of words kept appearing again and again and again, and nothing appeared more than the phrase Elias the Lighthouse Keeper. It showed up in like 2/3 of generated stories.
This is what's it called? This is like that scary face thing.
Yes.
Oh, from way back, like a year or two ago.
From like the dream era of AI.
Yeah, and so
yes.
What exactly, like, what's the deal? Well, researchers posited that it might have something to do with pre-training data fed into the models, but quickly ruled out that, you know, they couldn't find anything that suggested Elias the Lighthouse Keeper appears with any excess frequency in any pre-training data or literature used in the training. Instead, they attribute the issue to the use of specific data sets that have become commonly used by AI labs, right? So, you know, they cited that WildChat, an open source data set of millions of conversations between like people and a GPT bot, was the best example of this. And essentially, the way that they have figured this out is that the alignment training, which is meant to steer models away from copyrighted characters and any adult content, may have inadvertently given safe alternatives such as Elias the Lighthouse Keeper.
Say they're Elias and they're a lighthouse keeper.
Yes. And what's weird about it is that basically it is implying that because the AI is trying so hard to not use any sort of thing that could get it flagged for whatever reasons. It's just going back. It's basically like when people use AI, it's the easiest common denominator. So this system is literally just cheesing. And it's choosing Elias because it's safe. And so we'll just be like, all right, I'll make another Elias story.
My old standby.
Yeah.
Elias the Lighthouse Keeper.
And weird. It's basically the way that it's described online is it's the elevator music of content.
Elias the Lighthouse Keeper. It really does have like a choogy sort of like.
Yeah.
Like soulless, like it has like the trappings of a book character, but none of the detail.
The problem, though, and this is what's fascinating, because AI, as we've talked about, is prone sometimes to lie, right?
Oh, big sometimes, a lot of the time.
While a generic Lighthouse Keeper story is totally harmless, it's noted that Elias Thorne now is appearing as the supposed author of books. Some including questionable medical advice, as the artist on ambient music tracks, and as the artist on AI artworks that it submits as being real. So basically, AI has taken a fictional character, and because it knows it's not going to get, like, no one's going to flag it as being like, oh, that's Mickey Mouse, they can, or like, you know, whoever, they're literally creating an alternative universe where Elias Thorne, the Lighthouse Keeper, is also the guy who made that ambient music or wrote this fake book.
That is so fucking weird.
Yeah, that's so strange.
The fact that they understand it doesn't make it less weird. It just makes our understanding of AI, it makes it seem like we don't know what the hell we're doing.
I think it's actually kind of demystifying, because it really just lays bare exactly how simple and stupid LLMs are compared to what people are giving them credit for doing, because they can trick them into talking. Like, it's like the biggest trick in the world.
At the same time, though, and I mean, this wasn't going to be the topic, but at the same time, there's shit like that came out this week, that Mythos, which is Claude's, the Anthropic model that's like got released partially and then immediately taken down, was able to, through like testing or whatever, hack into all of the government's highest security stuff within hours, not weeks, not days, within hours. It was
Why did it do that?
It was part of its testing.
They knew that it was going
to
do it?
Yeah, like they gave it like the see how it would go, and it was like, yeah, I'll get the full. I wasn't not the article I had it brought up, but I was still see Claude. This was literally not long ago. Root Access. Yeah, there's like a bunch of articles about it.
Programming used to be like writing a book or like painting a picture. Like, programming had style, programming had elegance. Now it's just like monsters. It's Jurassic Park. It's fucking crazy. Just destructive machines enslaving us and destroying the planet.
This is 2 days ago. The NSA chief said Mythos, quote, broke into almost all of our classified systems, not in weeks, but in hours. On June 11th, Mark Warner, the vice chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said that General Joshua Rudd, who leads the National Security Agency and the Pentagon Cyber Command, I told him that Mythos, which is the Anthropic's highest end model that is not released to the public yet, broke into almost all of our classified systems, not in weeks, but in hours. Advanced AI differs from encryption in another respect, too. Whereas cryptography eventually became widely available abroad, America today enjoys a clear lead in AI. China's hobbled by blah, blah, blah. So like, it just goes on to say like all this other shit about it's like where scary. We are.
It's not a lead. It's just us blowing our nuts off ourselves again.
Like that. I don't know if that is a lead on anything.
Just blowing our nuts off again and again.
It's just again.
At every turn, blowing our nuts off whenever we can.
It's just like LLMs are both like, and that just shows too, like what they have privately is far beyond what's out there in the public. They released a super safeguarded, I guess like regulated version they called Fable. And Fable was out for like a day and a half before the government told them to take it down.
They were like,
because it was way too dangerous. Like, that's like, why we make are. That?
Like, why make that? It's not. It's still not an AI.
Think about it.
It's still not an AI. It's still not like a Jarvis. You know what I mean, or whatever.
No, it's not. It's not a conscious.
Yeah.
Sentient forward thinking thing, but it is an AI in that it is, it can.
It's literally an AI. Things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not a person you can talk to kind of AI.
Right.
It's scary.
Do you guys have links for that stuff? That shit is interesting as fuck.
Yeah. I'm got the NSA chief subreddit here. Actually, I'll just give you the Economist link. This is why they blocked the Fable release, because it could just do that shit.
Yeah, that is some crazy shit.
What I brought to the table was a little bit fun, little science thing.
Scary.
Dude, yeah. It's yeah, I don't know what to, I don't know what you, that what, it's impossible for us to understand where AI is going to take
Elias
us in the next
Thorne
5 years.
Elias Thorne is like straight out of like a Philip K. Dick. It's like the idea of a character that like got invented by no one is like a Doctor Who episode again.
Yeah, it's so bizarre, but it's one of those things where it just shows you that for all we know about AI, we know outputs and we know inputs, but we still to this day don't quite understand what happens in between. Like, it just kind of does a thing. Even when you ask it, why did you do that? It sometimes literally will be like, well, I just thought that it would be better this way. It's like, well, what do you mean you thought?
Right. Like that, God, and I don't want to get into like the depth of this conversation, because I don't think AI is conscious, but it's like at somewhere along the LLM decision tree,
right?
Because it has so many options, it has to, something within it, programming has to make a decision on what word is going to be chosen or what direction it's going to go. The question is, what is making that? Like, there is a point, and I don't want to humanize it, because it's not, but there is a moment that the machine has to make a decision and infer what it thinks you want.
Yep.
And again, the point is like, what does that mean? Like where on the scale, maybe consciousness is a scale, right? Like not an on and off. Like, I'm not saying they're conscious. I'm not saying they have morals. I'm not saying they're sentient or self-aware or whatever. But are we fucking with shit we shouldn't be fucking with?
Well, first off, yes, 100% yes.
Right, but what are you the thoughts on like they're at some point in the machine's like algorithm, it has to make a decision on how it's going to talk to you, why it tells you what it's going to tell you, why it decides the things it decides along those lines, and like the more we like, I think there are a lot of people who still think AI is early GPT levels and don't realize like, it is still very bad at a lot of things, but it is also exponentially like grown in its capabilities.
It's
and
still,
like,
it feels a lot to me like if you look at like if another way towards AI besides LLMs or whatever is like automata, right? Let's just say,
yep.
Right? Like if you look at like Walt Disney, the like most modern and advanced automata there is, they have done stuff that is unbelievable in the service of making a pile of machine parts look, act, move, and appear to be a human. And from a lot of angles, it does appear to be a human, and it does feel human. And in a lot of ways, it is unmistakably human. But the ways that it is not human are glaring and worth noting.
Right. Agreed.
As differences between us and it. And it's not really about, you know, where does the decision making come from? It's like, we're not like talking about creating like a digital Zeus lightning bolt that's going to make things like turn the Mountain Dew machine into a Mountain Dew machine that comes to life and starts walking,
right,
and shooting
Transformers.
Yeah, it's not Ultron that we're making. It's like something much worse. Like, it's not going to resemble humanity. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be some kind of scary program that can outthink us, because that's all it does.
Yeah, I mean, it already can, I think, outthink us in a lot of ways.
Oh, and I'm just, I think we're letting it. I think most people,
listeners, it's now more important than it's ever been to read books.
Mm-hmm.
Read, yeah, and keep your brain active. Because if you're like people who use AI, it's been studied that they like lose cognition. They lose the ability to like think critically and stuff over time.
I don't want to put anyone on blast, so I'm not going to mention my friend's name, but I, an old friend from high school long ago, is a teacher, and bless his sweet soul, he's still doing it. He was literally telling me that there are students in his class that when asked to not use any AI to do their homework, they like shut down. And they're like, it's too hard.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That scares me.
I feel old.
Like, it isn't that the AI have taken over. It's we just kind of like, we're like, well, why learn if AI will just do it?
As somebody who does do research all the time for this fucking show, I will say it is way harder to do than it was when I was in college. I will say that, but I don't think that's what those kids are saying.
I don't know. I don't know. I do more book reports now than I ever have in my life.
Yeah. Like, if you want to feel crazy, watch those people talking about what it's like to drive their cyber trucks without the GPS on.
Right.
How scared, yeah. They're like, dude, it's no joke.
I was
lost out there. It's just you in the road, dude. It's so crazy. You don't know anything.
I think part of it too is like, we just don't know how to like, it's hard for our brains to conceptualize. If the creators themselves don't understand what's happening under the black box of AI, how are we as consumers supposed to wrap our heads around exactly how these things make the decisions they are?
We don't want to know how the sausage gets made, man.
Like, I know, but like, where
depends on the sausage, right? You know, I can take a pointer here and there.
Yeah. I just like, I want, like, at what point is something, does the machine decide and why? And like, again, nobody knows why, but does that imply anything is also interesting? Is, I don't know. There's so much. AI is so bad in so many ways, but there's so many conversations that it springs out of it. I don't know. Fucking crazy.
I don't think it's ever going to decide, but it may be alive. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, even the idea that it's deciding is us anthropomorphizing it in a way.
Yeah. It would just be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. What did you, well, that's it. Did we do your topic?
My topic, it's not super, super long, yeah. But so this comes up from last week. These science, some theoretical physicists have posited within a framework that what if some black holes aren't black holes at all, but a new theoretical study suggests that when a massive star collapses, it might not form a singularity hidden behind an event horizon, but instead the collapse could trigger the birth of a tiny new universe inside the dying star that's driven by dark energy. So this comes from two theoretical physicists out in a Goethe University, Frankfurt. They say massive stars, read the brief of this. Massive stars produce light and heat through nuclear fusion, a process that releases enormous amounts of energy from their cores. Eventually, however, the largest stars run out of fuel. And once that happens, the outward pressure generated by radiation is no longer strong enough to resist gravity. The star begins to collapse under its own weight and theoretically continuing until all of its mass is compressed into a single point known as a singularity. Although black holes are widely accepted by physicists, they still raise profound questions. How can a mass equal to billions of suns be squeezed into an infinitely small point? How can space-time become infinitely curved at a singularity? At this extreme limit, the known laws of physics cease to provide reliable answers. Scientists cannot accurately describe what happens under such conditions. Black holes also present another challenge because they hide everything beyond their event horizons. And tangentially, this is why there are theories that our universe is within a black hole, because we can't see past a certain point. And if you're within the black hole universe, you wouldn't be able to see outside the event horizon.
Yes.
Of it.
And if
physics would be different.
A black hole hits a single point. That single point could be the Big Bang.
Yeah, it could be like exactly. Yeah, it's interesting.
So it's like essentially we are, and I mean this in the nicest, most scientific way. I think scientists would agree. We're kind of blown out the ass of a black hole.
Yeah,
we're just like
any universe on the other side of a black hole would have different physics than the universe from which it came.
Right.
So our physics wouldn't work outside of our system anyway to like describe what's beyond.
Honestly, I kind of love it. I love the idea of black holes on black holes on black, like an infinite universe of black holes.
But doesn't that fit everything we know? Like the fractals and all this other shit. Like it's just infinite turtles all the way down kind of thing, which is infinitely generating.
Blast holes.
Blast.
I like it.
Blast.
This guy gets it.
Blast holes.
Yeah. Anyway, any matter, radiation, or information that crosses the event horizon boundary, including light itself, can no longer be observed by us. It just disappears.
That's because it's blasted because out its ass and makes new universes
in poop. Yep.
And because of these unresolved issues, some researchers have explored the possibility that at least some objects identified as black holes could actually be something else entirely. One proposed alternative is an ultra-compact object known as a gravistar.
Gravistar is my favorite metal band, dude.
It's an awesome fucking name. Gravistars would be nearly as dense and massive as black holes, making them extremely difficult to detect because of their intense gravitational
pull. Sega Saturn game.
Yes. Very Sega Saturn.
Oh, it's really rare. 100%.
Really rare. Yeah, it's a shmup. It has a different name in Japan that like doesn't make, it makes even less sense.
Yeah, there's like a subtitle. Yeah. Like Surfer in the Silver Universe.
Yeah, Gravistar, yeah. Surfer in a Silver Universe, and it's like cute, and it's like white background with like a little really colorful picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, but like one of the bosses you fight is just like a naked man for some reason.
Yeah, it's just a naked dude, and on the front cover, like most prominent thing is just like a daytime like resort cocktail.
Yeah,
glass.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude, you've built the perfect image in my mind of this fucking
Gravistars.
Unlike black holes, however, they would not contain a singularity or an event horizon. Instead, beneath their outer layers of ordinary matter, they would be filled with dark energy. And this mysterious form of energy produces an outward pressure that counteracts gravity and prevents complete collapse. For many physicists, gravistars offer an appealing alternative because they avoid some of the conceptual problems associated with black holes. Yet one major question has remained unanswered for decades. How could gravistars actually form? This is where this study comes in. Theoretical physicists Daniel Jampolsky and Professor Luciano Rizzola have now proposed what they describe as the first dynamic solution to Albert Einstein's equations of general relativity that explains how a collapsing star could produce a gravistar. According to their work, the collapse Let me read that again.
Yeah, real quick.
They describe as the first dynamic solution to Albert Einstein's equations of general relativity that explains how a collapsing star could produce a gravistar.
Okay. So they solved it?
We'll go through it real quick. Okay, according to their work, the collapse of a massive star may trigger the birth of a miniature universe within the collapsing matter itself. This newly formed universe would not be very different from the Big Bang that gave rise to our own cosmos. As in our universe, dark energy would drive its expansion. As the mini universe expands, it pushes outward against the inward pull of gravity. This opposing force can halt the collapse before a black hole forms. The result is a stable balance between the collapsing stellar material and the expanding interior universe.
I vibe with this so much. Like this, I almost completely believe this.
It would make a lot. It helps. It kind of like makes sense. Your brain can kind of wrap your mind around that. Because
if everything goes to a single point, and then we are told by science that a single point spawned the universe, wouldn't it make sense that A to B to C, like it checks out?
So if that's true, here's the question: what was the first universe?
I don't think it matters.
Was there ever?
I don't think it matters.
Silver universe. Never was. Maybe it was silver always.
Universe. But even, yeah.
Maybe, you surf through.
Maybe it's always been. God damn it.
The gravistars, universe. Of course, they surf through the silver. Gravistars. Like, obviously.
But if it's infinite, it would make sense. If it's just infinite.
And then you can also satisfy the religious by saying whatever the first universe was, it was created by God. Done. Look at that. Easy, simple.
There you go. Yeah, you can fit it all in. Yeah,
we did it.
The researchers, wouldn't it be crazy if some some aliens have figured the technology to move into interior universes from black holes within their universe?
Right, but if the physics is different.
That's why it's all fucking weird.
See, that's also like, that's also great, like sci-fi and great eldritch horror and great, like it's just so cool. And also, hey, spoilers, it's so beyond us in our existence that it doesn't matter. So like, yeah, all right, cool, man. I like it.
It's
cool
basically an idea, bro. Yeah. Yeah,
it is cool, though, that we are alive in an era where the math says it could be real, though. Like, that's like, it's not all fantasy. So they say the researchers say their solution provides the first explanation for a question that they've had for 25 years, how gravistars could emerge from the collapse. And so this is where, like, they say this is room for new physics. The Big Bang of the emerging universe can unfold once the star has already collapsed almost to the point of becoming a black hole. And then over time, as it like takes in more matter and it kind of collides with other ones or just gets bigger and bigger. And like, that's basically their theory without getting into the insane math of it. That's what they're saying is like, that's what they think happens is it's not a single point. It pops out and fills. And that's why it would also, maybe that's why our universe is expanding and also expanding in uneven rates, because it's still filling in. And as it's like this other black hole is filling in, maybe it's like touching other black holes and dumping information, because it's matter, energy, information. All these things are being sucked into a black hole. And if it's an infinite, here's the other fucked up fun thought is like, if it is infinite, if the universe is truly infinite, it's constantly like sucking into black holes. Eventually, just through the laws of infinite repetition, our universe would have to get created again. And we would once again exist in similar, if not
exactly the same way,
because time isn't real. It's literally fucking infinite. And over time, because it's only drawing off of a finite source of matter and energy, over infinite time, our universe would be created again and again and again and again, over and over and over.
Could we do like a few little things different?
But that's philosophically, yes, there are
minor changes.
There's some minor changes, but
have you guys read 11/22/63?
Assholes, a little more Gravistars is what I'm hoping for.
Do you think Gravistars
like are in a band together? Right,
they are, but that's only when they're on break from saving.
But they're also like. Basically the characters from the Daft Punk anime.
Interstellar, whatever. 7777,
Can it also be the universe where PT gets made?
I think that's one of the things
I was going to change. That was already on my list, dude.
He's kind of doing OD right now.
We waited long enough, my friends.
So
with that, gamers rise up.
Gamers rise. With that bit of information to blow your minds and think about the infinite recursion of reality forever and ever and ever, we leave you. We'll be back next week with another minisode. We appreciate you here over at patreon.com/Shilluminati Pod. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.